everyone. Welcome to In Movies We Grow. I am your host, Kel Smith, and the basis of this show is where we talk about movies with my friends, family, and film Twitter, and just any film aficionado, where we talk about, you know, them and, you know, the movies they grew up on and what inspired them to, you know, keep up with their passion of films. So today I have Gina Versa from the Waffle Press.
Hey, good to hear from you, Kale. Thanks for having me on.
Gene, it's always been a pleasure. It was a pleasure when we had you on The Youth Critic, and it's been a continued pleasure now. Thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I feel like we haven't podcasted in a minute, but yeah, dude. Always glad to converse and talk about movies with you.
Well, now I went through a lot, and now I'm back for more, but on a different podcast. But thank you. So, Gene, give us a little context. Where are you from?
I grew up in Whittier, California. It's a small town in the middle of like LA County. So, you know, I kind of joke that it's like so anti Los Angeles, even though it's in the middle of Los Angeles. Like, it's a small town community, you know, people grow and have families there. And, I grew up in, watching movies like many kids, but, it was until high school that I, got really serious about making films. I was in a technological in, you know, high school. It was called Don Bosco Technical Institute. And one of our, we had different technologies. That's kind of like our majors, so to speak. And one of them was graphic communications, right? And the last year you were supposed to make a short film, because that was like kind of the where it all led, you know, doing like InDesign, you know, Premiere Pro, and all the Adobe programs. And I was like, you know, I saw all the movies that they had in previous years. And the one thing I noticed where it was just like people didn't really try, you know, they kind of did it at the last minute. And I was like, what if someone actually like put in a lot of like effort and like actually, you know, wrote the script before the class and, you know, really put themselves out there. And I got some friends to work on it. I wrote the script with a good friend of mine named Sina Almazian. And we wrote like this dystopian sort of alternate future thriller, and like, you know, it had all these friends kind of playing older, but you know, we got like a production company that filmed weddings let us borrow equipment, and we made the best damn movie in the class. And Where should I start off?
Oh, so Gene, what's your earliest memory of watching movies? What's the earliest memory you have of watching any movie?
Oh, the earliest, the earliest memories I have, I think in a theater, it's probably Pocahontas that's like my first conscious memory I've seen, because I remember like, I think I really wanted some merch from Pocahontas, like a cup or a toy, and they only had it at the movies, and my dad took me to this AMC, and I think I'd never been to a movie before, it was exciting being around people, and, you know, kind of fell in love with watching movies, used to rewind them. First, like, movie I remember seeing, probably Peter Pan or something, and then kind of like towards, as I got older, like movies that really stuck with me were like all the Godzilla films. Like, I remember, just really enjoying that and kind of wanting to know more about how they were made. It was funny. My dad actually showed me, King Kong first. Right. And, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, I don't like this movie. Like, it was kind of funny. I kind of thought like, I don't get why people are sad that King Kong is dead. I didn't know. I didn't care for King Kong for some reason. I just thought it was boring. And then, like, everyone just getting, feeling bad for him was kind of like, oh, he's a, you know, he's whatever. He wasn't, he was destroying the city. And then my dad was like, well, maybe he'll show you Godzilla. That's more your speed. And I watched that and I fell in love. And it's ironic because I felt more sympathy for Godzilla's death in the the original 1954 movie than King Kong, which is supposed to be played straight as a tragedy. So now that was I guess Godzilla was just how I fell in love with movies.
So with Godzilla, like how has the kaiju films, because that's what both Kong and Godzilla are kind of falling into, how did that shape your love for the genre?
Oh, well, I think it made me aware of a lot of special effects and what goes into sort of the production of films. It made me aware. I remember there was a library by my house, and my mom used to take me to get all the Godzilla books. And there was a, I forgot what it was called. It could have been called Godzilla Fact, but it went through the production of every single movie, and what went into it, who wrote it, how they achieved certain effects, and it really made me fall in love with the art of movie making and special effects and the production on these films. So credit Godzilla.
Nice. And so we go from Godzilla. What's the next, I wouldn't say trend for you, but what was the next phase of films you fell in love with?
The next phase, always enjoyed movies when I was a kid growing up. Loved, all the comic book stuff. But I think in particularly when I was in high school, I started really falling in love with Stanley Kubrick and Nolan. But Kubrick, with 2001, A Space Odyssey, kind of credit that to getting my interest really piqued in, making movies and, kind of reading on Stanley Kubrick that, if you read on his history, really he's not from any sort of prominent family or any sort of film dynasty. He was just, regular kid in Queens, in Brooklyn, excuse me, Jewish, he was a Jewish, he was the son of a Jewish doctor, and he wasn't really interested in school, kind of like me. But he was interested in photography and films, and he was a photographer, and he was in Life magazine. And one day he was just like, well, I photograph stories, why don't I just film it? And he literally just thought of belief in himself that he just thought he was something, and then he became one of the greatest filmmakers, and he literally came from nothing.
What's your favorite Kubrick?
I would go with 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's like my number one. It got me into that. Then pretty close below is probably A Clockwork Orange, Dr. Strangelove, The Shining, and then probably Full Metal Jacket.
Why is 2001? Because I know people have talked about 2001 and covered it so... they've covered it. It's been one of the most covered movies of all time. But to me, why do you love it?
Well, I love it so much that it's, there's no other film like it. I would say it's very unique, very sort of, very, very stand on its own. There's a story in there, but the story itself is just, it's just told through such the vastness of space and no dialogue, and it tells this three act structure of basically just humans and kind of evolution in a sense, and just shows you through the craft of filmmaking and the boundaries they push in terms of special effects and the film form. I think it was just so rewarding, and it was really such a step forward in terms of movie making.
It wasn't, 2001. So did you get a chance to see the IMAX 4K restoration that Nolan did?
Oh, I did. It was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think so. Close to 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was pretty low on money, but used my credit card to go see it. So I was I wouldn't miss out on that for the world.
Yeah, because to me, that was the first time, not the first time I had seen the movie, but the first time I actually was able to appreciate it. Because I saw 2001 when I was 12.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it looked
For me, for me, I don't think I appreciated it at all then when I was 12, but now watching it in full IMAX, in an actual big IMAX screen, I was actually able to appreciate the, not necessarily the scale, but the mastery of, and the craftsmanship of what Kubrick was going for. And I'm really kind of glad Nolan, kind of pine was kind of like the guy carrying the flag to get the restoration done. Because I think his restoration is very good. I was very impressed.
It was amazing.
So we go from Kubrick to what? So we go from Kubrick to Nolan. What do you see? What did you see in Nolan? Because you're kind of spoiling, getting ahead a little bit. You are a filmmaker, but I wanted to know personally, what did you see in Nolan that really caught your eye?
I think for Nolan that he's such a he's such a kind of down to earth guy that's really intelligent, and he says, he creates these like not high art, but really like high, kind of like really complex plots and like high, like really big ideas, and he makes it like accessible to, any sort of type of audience that they understand, and then it's universally like understood, like Inception and Dunkirk and Interstellar.
Not yeah, because that's how, because for you and I think we're both kind of in the same generation of where we grew up, and we kind of discovered Nolan not only through Batman, but I mean through Memento and Insomnia, and then ultimately Inception was where we were like, oh, or for at least Inception for me was like, okay, this is the filmmaker that's going to, this is our, this is our director for our generation. Because I feel like Nolan and Fincher are kind of our directors for our generation in terms of what we're going to be imitating. I mean, there's an argument now for Villeneuve, but for Villeneuve, Coogler, but I think, for us in particular, I think Nolan really has kind of inspired a lot more in front of, to us in particular. So what other filmmakers, while we're on the topic of it, what other filmmakers, have kind of inspired you?
I would say people like Gareth Edwards, and how he made Monsters, just made it very independently away from any sort of studio system. I think the crew on that was like 5 people. So it's like, it's insane that he directed all this, and isn't directed Godzilla and all of that. Really enjoy Rian Johnson. He's such a great writer. It makes me want to kind of master the craft more. I really enjoy sorry. I really enjoy Guillermo del Toro for sure. Just love his passionate about just everything about movies, the way he writes and directs. Scorsese, Edgar Wright, James Gunn for sure. Yeah, Taika Waititi. Just love those guys.
Yeah, I think, well, I think now, we're kind of, glut because we have somebody really good. We finally found our talent, our groove in terms of the talented writers and directors that are going to carry us forward. Some people still seem to think because of Twitter, Matt Reeves, Christopher Corey, Johnson, of course, Mangold. Do you follow that Twitter thread at all of kind of them going back and forth at all and kind of talking about movies?
I was following it. I remember that thread. Yeah, I was following it a little bit. Yeah. It was yeah, they're great at what they do. Yeah, I don't know if they're yeah.
So, kind of moving back towards your memories, do you remember any particular video store memory?
Blockbuster I went to with my mom, probably looking for Godzilla movies. We're always looking for ones I didn't see. So, they had the sort of Americanized, sorry, American moot dubs and everything, like King Kong versus Godzilla versus Mothra and all that. But the really obscure, the ones that, Godzilla versus Biollante, stuff like that, just it was hard to find. So yeah, we just went to other stores and they got it there. But yeah, just Blockbuster, just renting a lot of Godzilla movies.
So, for you, not to keep going back to Godzilla, but what do you see is the appeal to Godzilla?
I think for Godzilla, it's the fact that it's a movie that's kind of a schlocky movie where I guess kind of the original, like, it's a monster movie, like no one really thought of it as like high art, and what have you, but I just, that movie is so like impressive, and the story it tells, what it has to say about Japan, and really kind of it's like this candy wrapper where it has this this different kind of wrapping, but really it's about it's kind of a lot of morality and everything. And I think it's just such a wonderful film that kind of may have been like deemed looked down upon in a stand. I guess I relate to that,
It's interesting because I kind of think of the story of King Kong and the story of King Kong is a very kind of human epic sweeping drama, and then I think of Godzilla or the original Godzilla is like this political thriller. That's how I kind of is or. This very so or social economic thriller because of, I mean, Godzilla kind of is the representation of nuclear war and the manifestation in the monster, in the allegorical monster that'll rise out of, that'll rise out of the of what have you when you invent nuclear, annihilation. So to me, that's why I think Godzilla lasts a lot longer. I think Kong, people love like the human drama between is it what's the character what's the female character's name in the Kong movie?
Hey,
Is
right?
it Fay Wray?
Oh, and yeah,
Okay.
various characters, and I believe.
Okay, I think people get really kind of caught up in the emotionality between Anne and Kong, but especially Peter Jackson with his version. But I feel like Godzilla lends itself more to, I feel like Godzilla lends itself more to more of it lasts. It has a more timelessness to it because we're always still dealing with the repercussions of upgraded weapons, of upgraded militaristic weapons. So I feel like that's why it lasts maybe a little longer than Kong in the zeitgeist. But that's my take.
Yeah, for sure.
So for So while we're on the topic of Godzilla, what did you think of Roland Emmerich's Godzilla?
As a kid, I was kind of like very, I don't know, a little, and I just was kind of ambivalent about it. I liked the toys for sure, but I was thought it was missing something even then. I think I've watched it again since then, and I think it's fine, but it's certainly not a good Godzilla movie. I don't think it really talks about, the themes that Godzilla films are supposed to touch on, and excuse me, in terms of like nuclear war, things like that. It's just missing kind of the depth of a Godzilla movie.
I think and to me, I think the biggest issue with Roland Emmerich is I think it's okay too. I don't think it's all right terrible, but I do think the problem with it is that it's too much of a popcorn movie. Which, I mean, to be fair, that's what Roland Emmerich kind of does. He does these big sweeping popcorn movies. But to be fair, Godzilla isn't known by his fan, isn't known to be, just straight up popcorn schlock. Maybe Emmerich thought of that. Maybe Emmerich thought it was. And maybe that's why it doesn't work as well, but that's not what Godzilla is.
No, you're exactly right.
And then and while we're on the topic of Godzilla too, I have to ask you, what do you think about the new Godzilla movies?
Oh, I love King of the Monsters. I've warmed up to Gareth Edwards Godzilla, where I really enjoy it for the most part. I disagree with a lot of some, well, not a lot, some of his decisions, but ultimately I do respect that movie and how it launched, relaunched Godzilla in the stratosphere of the public consciousness. So yeah, great.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat. I like Gareth Edwards' movie. I wish he would have done more with the characters, especially if he wasn't going to have Godzilla in the movie so as much. But because to me, I feel like, his movie, the biggest issue is that it's relying way too much on the payoffs, and while the payoffs are great, I feel like if you're going to ground the movie in from a human level, you probably need to put at least a little effort in caring about us carrying the characters. Because even in the old Toho Studio movies, where there were human characters, there were human characters at the center of it, you still had a basis of you cared for them. You still had a basis of, you. So.
Yeah, there was some humanity about them. Something relatable.
But and I'm on the King of the Monsters train. I thought that was really good, even though no, even though when I watched it, I knew watching it. That it was going to be con you were either going to buy into what it was doing or you were not. So, and I did. So that was, and they took a big risk in its swing, and we'll see what happens with Godzilla versus Kong in 2022. So was there any other, so you mentioned comic book movies. What were the big comic book movies that you liked as a kid?
I really enjoyed Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. I saw like so many times. X-Men, X2, those were really enjoyable. God, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight. Yeah, those were very very instilled a lot of impact on my consciousness when I was growing up.
Nice. So we were talking before this, and you're working on a movie, Vera OS. What would you say were, what would you say influence? Well, actually, if not just, you don't have to talk too much about it, but what would you say influenced that movie?
Yeah, I would say definitely Stanley Kubrick. A lot of like science fiction sort of B movies in the 70s, like Westworld, THX, a lot to do about sentience, what it means for artificial intelligence, people kind of dealing with futuristic societies that are familiar but yet different, you know?
So, and is your so your movie leans more, so your movie leans definitely more into the sci-fi of, of the 70s. That kind of cl is it a more clinical sci-fi, or is it a more bombastic sci-fi?
Clerical in what sense?
Maybe clinical is the wrong word. Maybe more grounded. Sorry, grounded.
Yeah, I would say it's more grounded for sure. It's just like, the characters live in sort of this not too distant future, where they're wearing the sort of clothes and everything of our sensibilities. It's just they have like more advanced technology.
Nice. Nice. So, so kind of, getting close to the end here, Gene, what movies have you seen lately that have been really like, that have really grabbed you lately, that have really impressed you?
Off the top of my head, I really enjoyed 1917. That came out last year. Just love the technical aspects of it. Uncut Gems by the Safdie brothers, amazing. Knives Out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Just love the how they, you really feel like you're living in that time period. So well done. Midsommar was excellent. The Lighthouse. I love the kind of world building of stuff like Alita that came out last year. And I think the best movie that I saw last year was probably like Jordan Peele's Us. That's what it had to say about the country and everything.
So, on the topic of Jordan Peele, why, what, I really have loved his work recently. Why do you, what do you think's going on in his head? Because he's in a level of science. He's Both of his movies are horror. They are horror based, but they are both of a sci-fi commentary. So, what do you think is on his wavelength?
I think he's really influenced by, a lot of the films he saw when he was growing up. Like, just really understands the kind of the for, not the formula, not to say they're like, but kind of the DNA of them and just what makes them so special, like Poltergeist or The Exorcist. Like, he just has it like transmuted in his brain. And, he's obviously, a big Twilight Zone fan. And I think, he's not just trying to make like entertaining movies, but he's trying to have like a message to it as well. Like the Twilight Zone did. The Twilight Zone was about social justice and all that. And he really wants to kind of like talk about a lot of issues considering the world, because all art is political, and I think him as a person of color has just a lot to say. So Yeah, he's just amazing. He really just understands what the power of movies can do.
Nice. Awesome. On a final note, what would you say film-wise has been the most influential to you?
Film-wise, just of any movie.
I mean, it can be more than one, but just
Yeah,
yeah, any
I would
movie.
say probably like Inception, for sure. And me and my friend Sina, who wrote the original short film with me, when we came out of the movie, I was just like, oh man, that's what I want to do. That's like what I want to push forward in my life, just to make something like that. So yeah, owe that to Inception. And then probably 2001. I know we said that before, but it's a whole lot to that.
No, those are really good.
Yeah.
Those are really, yeah, those are good to be inspired by, because I mean, you look at the craftsmanship behind them, and then the stories that are being told. It is, I think those are going to be inspiring. I mean, of course, 2001 will always, I mean, that will always be the one talked about the most, but I think for us, Inception, something of that movie will be, in the DNA of most filmmakers coming up.
I think so,
But yeah, so Gene, thank you so much for being on this with me. Thank you
yeah. Of
for
course, yeah.
talking to me about, opening up about the movies you loved. Is there, do you have a podcast that you do by any chance that you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, of course. It's called the Waffle Press Pod. Yeah, it's excuse me. It's called the Waffle Press Podcast. We're on iTunes and YouTube. It's run by me and my good friend Diego Crespo, and make a lot of fun podcasts about retrospectives. Him and Matt Gringo have really interesting show, if that's the least you could say. And just the amount of weird and niche content we put out is just great. So you should check it out.
Awesome. So with that, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at G9892, and you can find the Waffle Press at the Waffle Press on Twitter, and then the Waffle Press podcast on Instagram.
Nice. And I know we talked a little bit about Vera OS, but are you ready to talk about that movie yet, or is that still up in the air?
I could talk about it. It's just finished a pretty good cut of it. We have all the sound design and all the special effects are done. We're just waiting on color grading to come through, and yeah, it's in the can. And then we'll maybe do some other sort of things on just kind of going off of that. But yeah, we're just trying to find a home for it right now.
All right, cool. Thank you. And I'll and for you listeners, I'll keep if you follow me on Twitter at Movie Kale, I'll keep you guys on the in the loop on anything. I'll keep you guys in the loop on
Sure.
any I'll keep you guys in the loop on anything Vera OS, and I'll retweet what any announcement that Gene or the Waffle Press has about it. I'll keep everyone in the loop, and when the movie does
Yeah.
eventually, and when the short does come out, I'll either put a link to it on this, I'll add a link, I'll update this to add a link on it, and we'll see. Thank you, Gene. I wish you and Diego the best. You guys have been really great on my shows and very great gracious.
Yeah. Of course, of course.
But thank you, and
yeah, it's always good talking to you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. We will be, for you, the listeners, we'll be back with you very soon with more guests to talk about any other films they grew up in, were inspired by. Thank you all so much. We'll be back with you soon, and follow my Twitter for updates on this show. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you. Have a good day.